We are waiting.
I am waiting for my case to come up.
And I am waiting for a rebirth of wonder.
And I am waiting for someone to really discover America and whale.
For the discovery of a new symbolic Western frontier.
And I am waiting for the American eagle to really spread its wings and straighten up and fly right.
And I am waiting for the war to be fought, which will make the world safe for anarchy.
And I am waiting for the final withering away of all governments.
And I am perpetually awaiting a rebirth of wonder.
I am waiting for the great divide to be crossed. And I am anxiously waiting for the secret of eternal life to be discovered by an obscure general practitioner.
And I am waiting to set sail for happiness.
And I am waiting
for a reconstructed Mayflower to reach America with its picture story and TV rights sold in advance to the natives.
And I am waiting for the lost music to sound again in the lost continent in a new rebirth of wonder.
Jurors deliberated for 5 full days before finding Maxwell guilty of 5 of 6 counts, with the maximum prison terms for each charge ranging from 5 to 40 years in prison. Maxwell faces the likelihood of years behind bars, an outcome long sought by women who spent years fighting in civil courts to hold her accountable for her role in recruiting and grooming Epstein's teenage victims and sometimes joining in the sexual abuse. As the verdict was read, Maxwell was largely stoic behind a black mask. Afterward, she could be seen pouring herself water as one of her attorneys patted her back. She stood with her hands folded as the jury filed out, and glanced at her siblings, faithfully in attendance each day of the trial, as she herself was led from the courtroom. She did not hug her lawyers on the way out, a marked change from previous days during which Maxwell and her team were often physically affectionate with one another. No sentencing date was set. The defense had insisted Maxwell was a victim of a vindictive prosecution devised to deliver justice to women deprived of their main villain when Epstein killed himself while awaiting trial in 2019. During the trial, prosecutors called 24 witnesses to give jurors a picture of life inside Epstein's homes, a subject of public fascination and speculation ever since his 2006 arrest in Florida in a child sex case. A housekeeper testified he was expected to be blind, deaf and dumb about the private lives of Epstein, a financier who cultivated friendships with influential politicians and business tycoons, and Maxwell, who had led a jet-setting lifestyle as the favorite child of a media mogul. Pilots took the witness stand and dropped the names of luminaries, Britain's Prince Andrew, Bill Clinton, Donald Trump, who flew on Epstein's private jets. Jurors saw physical evidence like a folding massage table once used by Epstein and a black book that listed contact information for some of the victims under the heading massages. There were bank records showing he had transferred $30.7 million to Maxwell, his longtime companion, one-time girlfriend, later employee. But the core of the prosecution was the testimony of 4 women who said they were victimized by Maxwell and Epstein at tender ages. 3 testified using first names or pseudonyms to protect their privacy: Jane, a television actress; Kate, a former model from Great Britain; and Carolyn, now a mom recovering from drug addiction. The 4th, psychologist Annie Farmer, chose to use her real name after being vocal about her allegations in recent years. They echoed one another in their descriptions of Maxwell's behavior. She used charm and gifts to gain their trust, taking an interest in their adolescent challenges and giving them assurances that Epstein could use his wealth and connections to fulfill their dreams. They said the script would darken when Maxwell coaxed them into giving massages to Epstein that turned sexual, encounters she played off as normal. After 1 sexual massage, Kate, then 17, said Maxwell, asked her if she'd had fun and told her, "You are such a good girl." Caroline testified that she was one of several underprivileged teens who lived near Epstein's Florida home in the early 2000s and took up an offer to give massages in exchange for $100 bills, which prosecutors described as a pyramid of abuse. Maxwell made all the arrangements, Caroline told the jury, even though she knew the girl was only 14 at the time, Jane said in 1994, when she was only 14. She was instructed to follow Epstein into a pool house at the Palm Beach estate, where he masturbated on her. Two charges, including the lone count on which Maxwell was acquitted, applied only to Jane. "I was frozen in fear," she told the jury, adding that assault was the first time she had ever seen a penis. She also directly accused Maxwell of participating in her abuse. Maxwell's lawyer asked Jane why it had taken so long to come forward. "I was scared," she said, choking back tears. "I was embarrassed, ashamed. I didn't want anybody to know any of this about me." The last to testify, Farmer described how Maxwell touched her breasts while giving her a massage at Epstein's New Mexico ranch and how Epstein unexpectedly crawled into bed and pressed himself against her. Maxwell, who turned 60 on Christmas, vehemently denied the charges through her lawyers. Still, she declined to take the risk of testifying, telling the judge, "The government has not proven its case beyond a reasonable doubt, so there is no reason for me to testify." The charges against Ghislaine Maxwell are for things that Jeffrey Epstein did, one of Maxwell's lawyers, Bobby Sternheim, emphasized to the jury. "But she is not Jeffrey Epstein and she is not like Jeffrey Epstein." Maxwell's legal team questioned whether the accuser's memories were faulty, or had been influenced by lawyers seeking big payouts from Maxwell and from Epstein's estate in civil court. During their two-day presentation, they called as a witness Elizabeth Loftus, a professor who has testified as a memory expert for defense lawyers at about 300 trials, including the rape trial of movie mogul Harvey Weinstein. Maxwell's family complained she was under duress from harsh conditions at the Brooklyn jail where she's been held since her arrest in July 2020. She had repeatedly, and futilely, sought bail, arguing that she was unable to adequately contribute to her defense. Before Maxwell was taken from the courtroom, Sternheim asked that arrangements be made to give her a coronavirus booster shot, saying infection rates were rising dramatically at the lockup. The recent surge threatened to derail the trial itself as U.S. District Court Judge Allison J. Nathan prodded jurors to work quickly to avoid the potential of a mistrial caused by sickened jurors. The legal fights involving Epstein and Maxwell are not over. Maxwell still awaits trial on two counts of perjury. Lawsuits loom, including one in which a woman not involved in the trial, Virginia Giuffre, says she was coerced into sexual encounters with Prince Andrew when she was 17. Andrew has denied her account and that lawsuit is not expected to come to trial for many months.
Subscribe to the podcast.